Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 acid popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, everybody. There's a special gift on the table for me. I think it might have been left by the Zach Galifianakis fairy. Did you guys see Zach on Real Time on Friday smoking a joint? Today, Bill Maher was like, that joint was fake. It was made out of fake marijuana. And it's like, who cares if it was real or if it was fake? Everyone in that room was all right with him smoking it. So why should it be any problem at all? I saw on CNN. CNN, you know, they're supposed to be news, right? They're not supposed to be left or right. They're just supposed to be the news. They were, like, talking to some lawyer, and he was like, well, I'm not sure if charges are going to be pressed against Zach Galifianakis for smoking on Real Time with Bill Maher on HBO. Are you fucking kidding me? Like, who's buying HBO, watching Bill Maher, and sticking around for Zach Galifianakis that's going to go, oh, pot, this is no. No to weed. Like, oh, it's so aggravating. I'm totally off the paper already, you guys. My name is Doug, and I love movies. This is what weed does to me. We're coming to you from Los Angeles in front of a live audience on Tuesday, November 2nd, 2010. That's right, it's election day, which means by the time this ep plops, Prop 19 in California will either have passed or not passed, and I'll be happy or not happy. But either way, listeners, this is exciting news. I'll stop talking about pot the vote for now. It'll be back in 2012, I'm sure, if it doesn't work out tonight. And if it does work out tonight, that's good too. I had great, amazing shows last weekend in San Francisco and Sacramento at the Punchlines in both of those cities. Lots of name tags in the crowd, fun Len Maltin game. Also good times at the Sac State show that I did. We had a screening of Link at Cine Family last week. That was amazing. Elizabeth Shue was a great sport watching perhaps one of the shittiest movies ever made that she unfortunately was a part of. And she could not have been cooler about it. And I got her to promise to join us in the future sometime for a screening of Hollow Man. Yeah. So if you live in L.A., look for that, because we'll get all the secrets about behind the scenes of Hollow Man that we had to bleep when they happened on this podcast, this unedited podcast. And don't forget to watch the premiere of The Benson Interruption on Comedy Central tonight if you're listening on the day this comes out. If you're listening to it after that, then you missed it. But it'll be on every Friday night at midnight. And you can go to DougBensonTickets.com if you want to come do one of the final tapings at the Music Box in Hollywood on November 15th. And don't forget, you can see me at the St. Louis Funny Bone November 8th and 9th. And the Improv in Louisville, Kentucky, November 18 through 20. I don't know if Meg Whitman is going to win or not for her bid for California governor tonight. But I do know this. If they make a movie about her, John Lithgow should play. Should play Meg Whitman. I know there's a lot of people that think she looks like Philip Seymour Hoffman circa Boogie Nights. And that is true also. But I think John Lithgow is... You know why I like John Lithgow more. Philip Seymour Hoffman comes on the podcast, I will vote for him to play Meg Whitman. But since he has not, I'm all about John Lithgow for any part that he seems like he'd be right for. So, anyway. I feel like a Make-A-Wish kid tonight because I love the movie Scott Pilgrim versus the World, and I won't stop talking about how much I love it, and it's out on DVD and Blu-ray on Tuesday, November 9th. So now please welcome director Edgar Wright and stars Michael Cera and Aubrey Plaza. There they are. It's totally them, you guys. So go ahead and grab your microphones and say everything that you say into them, because that's what we're here for, is to make a podcast. Of course, the live people could hear us. It's a tiny theater. But Edgar, Aubrey, Michael.
Hello.
I like that. That's like a total British talk show. Like the hello. Edgar, Michael, Aubrey. Hello. Hello.
For those listening show. At home, I'm wearing a top hat and monocle as well.
Oh, if you directed movies with a top hat and monocle, then all the pre-publicity would be so amazing that everyone would rush out to see your movies when they open.
I got pulled over by the police today because for committing the heinous act of talking on my phone whilst driving.
And well, that is more dangerous than drunk driving.
And I got pulled over by a motorcycle cop. And I tried to sound extra British, like I didn't know whether it was a crime.
Oh, righto!
I wish I'd have had a top hat and monocle in my car. I got
so
away
you
with
get
it.
Get out of it. You did get out of it.
I got a caution. Yeah.
Really?
I said, I'm from England. I don't understand. We don't have iPhones in old England.
What's your first name? Sean? Interesting coincidence. I directed a movie.
You got pulled over once when you were talking to me on the phone.
Oh, yeah, right. I did. Right at Hollywood and Highland.
Yeah.
Which was awkward. And the people were...
Which you're on the phone because it takes forever to get through that intersection.
Right, yeah.
With all the tourists wandering across, right, back and forth across the street.
Eventually, you're going to have to make a call. I got pulled over right there, and there were some people pointing at me through my windshield, and a guy walked over and took a picture of me standing right by my window.
I listened to the whole thing go down.
Yeah.
And then a cop came over and said, you can't talk on your phone.
Yeah, and I said, I'm Canadian, and he didn't care. It didn't work.
So you got an actual ticket?
I got a ticket, yeah.
How much does that cost?
I think it was like $70 or something.
Oh, shit. Yeah. How did you get through it? But here's what I hear about all the time is, you know, they're also pulling people over for not wearing seatbelts. And I was with a cab driver lady once who had her seatbelt tied down, taped down next to her, because what they look for is the glint of the buckle up by your head. that's how you know you're not wearing your seatbelt. So this cab driver lady figured that out and like just nailed down her seatbelt buckle because she was so against wearing a seatbelt. I don't know why. I mean, as laws go, that one seems to be, you know, trying to help the driver. But so is the cell phone thing. It is kind of wild that we're talking on cell phones.
I think that
as
sounds kind of beautiful.
Are.
Cops just looking for the glint of a buckle.
It is. It is like poetry. Yeah.
The life of a police officer in L.A.
Yeah.
It's a sad thing.
But with the phones, they just look for you holding a phone to the side of your head, and that just gives it away. But I think there should be an intersection rule, because I do think you probably were on the phone because you were at a long-ass intersection, so you're like, well, I'm not moving. How could I hurt anybody with my foot on the brake?
Yeah, and that's how he spotted me, too, because I was just sitting there, and he was right behind me, and I was talking on the phone. So.
Entrapment, I say. They totally know you're going to talk on the phone if you're just sitting there. What else are you supposed to do? Now... First of all, Edgar and Michael, Aubrey, sit this one out. How crazy was that screening last night? I went to a screening at the Egyptian of Scott Pilgrim where there was a Q&A conducted by Guillermo del Toro.
Guillermo
del Toro conducted the Q&A, and you guys participated in it. And I think he set the bar for F-bombs in a Q&A after a PG-13 movie.
I know. He has the best accented swearing of any person I've ever met.
Can I use a direct quote from him?
Yes.
Anyone who doesn't see Sarah Pilgrim is a motherfucker.
Did you say Sarah Pilgrim?
I said Sarah Pilgrim because there's just an S here on my piece of paper. And for some reason I was like, you know what? This gender bias in the Scott Pilgrim title has really been bothering me. It should be Sarah Pilgrim or S. Pilgrim.
That might have just been Guillermo's accent. That might have been
that
the way
might
you
have
heard
been it.
It.
But he called everyone who hasn't seen it a motherfucker. And if those people hadn't just seen the movie, they would be scared. But we had all just seen it, so it wasn't. It, we were, felt pretty good about ourselves. But it was intense.
It was yeah, that was amazing. Guillermo's is an amazing person. It was just, I could sit and listen to him swear all day. I think the Q&A went on even longer than the movie, almost.
Oh my God! When I the screening started at 7:30 and seemed to start pretty much on time. And when I looked at my phone when I got out of the Q&A, it was 11:30. And I know we didn't see a longer than hour and 45 minute cut of the movie, so that was a long Q&A. But it was fascinating. He sounds like, if you close your eyes, he sounds like Liam Neeson in Taken. I kept, when people were asked questions like of you, I kept waiting for him to jump in and go, "I need you to get under the bed."
I have a particular set of skills.
Yes.
One of them is swearing.
He's got he just has an amazing set of pipes at Guillermo. Guillermo, and it was fun to see him talk to you about the movie and how much he loved it. So for the DVD renters and purchasers coming up on Tuesday, what were his tips that he gave, the things you should look for while watching the movie to make it more fun?
There's lots of numbers and X's. It's a bit, you know, like Sesame Street in some respects. You know, like three of the different...
You could really, by the time you're done watching it, you know how to read and write?
Yeah.
That's why we got Guillermo to do the Q&A.
Tickle me, Guillermo.
You put an extra syllable in there. You're like Guillermo.
Guillermo.
Guillermo. All right. So that was fun last night, and I'm looking forward to, I hope you guys can be there. We're going to show Scott Pilgrim at midnight twice at the New Beverly here in Los Angeles, and you want to play the Leonard Maltin game with people from the audience.
I think that would be good. I think you get some...
Edgar wants to take on... He wants Edgar Wright versus the world. He heard the disastrous T.J. Miller versus the world episode of my show, and he was like, I could do that. That sounds like fun for me. So that'll be awesome. Okay, so let me go down the line here and ask everybody some questions. Michael, I know like, everyone that listens to this is dying to know about the Arrested Development movie and all that, but I know you're sick of talking about it or being asked about it. So let me just ask you this instead. What's going on with year two?
You don't have to say anything.
That's a total dick question.
I don't have to say anything?
No, you don't have to.
I'll take that route.
Yeah, it doesn't need a response. Everyone involved in that movie is awesome, and I don't know what happened.
Right? I mean,
I feel the same.
It's like, oh shit, everybody's great. Everybody's fantastic.
It'll be revealed in the sequel what happened to the first one.
Oh, okay. That'd be funny if the sequel's all like, ha-ha, we got you with year one. Yeah. This is the real shit. This is what we really wanted to do.
But Aubrey, could you swear for us so that we can actually hear you saying swear words instead of the crazy bleeps that Edgar put on your mouth every time you swore in Scott Pilgrim?
Sure.
Or Sarah Pilgrim.
Fucking fuck. Fuck. Fuck.
Okay, so now, what was that noise that you put over her mouth? Was that like a computer starting up or something?
Yeah,
or?
It was an old, like loading signal from a Commodore 64.
All right, I'm going to try to get that noise and put it over what she just said in the podcast. And that'll be hilarious that I said, we want to hear you swear, and then the same thing will happen.
It's totally been stitched up.
Yeah, I should have said something before fuck, because it'll just be that noise.
Which was kind of almost you did say fuck a lot in the movie or other words that we didn't hear.
Why
was your character in your head? What was the backstory that you? Why were you so mad at Scott Pilgrim? Because it was never really clear. Other than you just know his pattern of behavior.
I mean, I guess I'm allowed to say this now because the movie's out on DVD. Soon, but we got these secret fact sheets from you and Edgar and Brian Lee O'Malley before we started shooting that had like secret things about our characters that we were supposed to keep to ourselves, and one of them informed my performance, I think. And
can she say what it was, Edgar?
Do you know what I'm gonna say?
You can say it. Yeah, go for it.
Well, one of them was that Julie Powers. Maybe had like a huge crush on Scott Pilgrim in college, but he never liked her. So like
it's the most plausible option.
It's the one that I would guess if I were guessing why you're so mad at him.
Yeah,
it would be that you were into him and then you watched him fuck over a million girls and you were like, why can't he fuck over me?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
hatred
over me
comes from love.
Now, are you gonna bleep out your F-bombs?
No, I'm not gonna do any of that. We just put this out there. We don't edit or change anything. Except for, I mentioned it earlier, Elizabeth Shue said some things about the making of Hollow Man that she regretted immediately afterwards.
But then you told them all the next week.
I've been telling them every week ever since. But I promised her immediately after the show, oh, we'll bleep out whatever you want. And she said, we'll bleep out that one thing, which essentially just that she just said, why would I show my tits in a shitty Paul Verhoeven movie? That's all she really was trying to say. But, you know, it got messed up in the...
Paul Verhoeven ranks lower than a chimp then, in which case... Is that right?
No. We solved both of these things in Link. Is by watching Link together, she was shocked to discover she does show copious side boob, and that I was right in saying that there was side boob in Link. She was like, no, that's a body double. It's like, no, the side boob was all her, but then there's a body double. It's the most brazen body double ever. There's a girl standing there head to toe. You could see part of her ass, both of her boobs, and she's got Elizabeth Shue's haircut. And that's it. She's not Elizabeth Shue, but they just show her head to toe. And when I saw the movie the first time, I didn't question it. I was too busy looking at her boobs and her ass to detect whether or not that was her face. And it's totally.
And the second time, you're like, "There's no way that's the small of Elizabeth Shue's back."
Yeah.
But you think that she was brazen? Like she was like, "I don't give a fuck. Like I'm gonna show my face." Like that was her.
That's her double was that way because that's also the double kind of understands that you're not going to show her face.
Like, all of her friends must be like, oh, look at you standing there naked next to a chimp.
But isn't the plot of that film whether a super intelligent ape can tell the difference between Elizabeth Shue and a body double? That's actually...
That is the storyline. That's why it's a long sit for an hour and 45 minutes, because that premise is stretched pretty thin. It's amazing. Anybody listening that hasn't seen Link, you might want to watch it with friends, because it's super boring. It's a really long sit, but there's some amazing shit happens in it. At one point, an orangutan dressed up as a regular monkey... Because they put different ears. They attach, they do makeup effects on an orangutan to make it look like just a monkey. And but that monkey picks up a Doberman Pinscher and slams it against a fence post until it's dead. And that's just one of the many delightful things that happen in an excruciatingly boring movie.
But I've seen
moments
that.
Of that. And that's the funny thing is you, when I told you I was screening, you're like, oh, I saw that a couple weeks ago.
On my own. Which was not the way to watch that.
Edgar will watch anything.
I will watch anything. I have a high patience. I watched it.
And you told me you don't ever walk out or on or turn off anything. You watch everything from beginning to end.
Yeah, I'm quite OCD like that. I can't. Maybe I've fallen asleep on a plane during something.
Yeah,
like
okay.
You can tell.
I'll give you that.
Everybody's done that.
Of course.
But you have a rule not to sleep through a flight, right?
Yeah.
I drink a lot of coffee before every flight.
Yeah. If I've started a rom-com on American Airlines, I have to finish it.
Oh, it's always rom-coms and children's things now. Like, this next month, I already looked ahead. They got Despicable Me. They got Ramona and Beezus. It's all just stuff that I'm like, well, I'll be passing on that theatrically, so I guess I'll enjoy it on a plane.
I went to see Jackass 3D this week at the ArcLight. And with a couple of friends, and as we were walking down to the screen, like, we hadn't got our glasses, and I said, oh, nobody gave us the glasses. Oh, they must be inside the screen, thinking there'd be an usher inside. So we went in, and nobody with glasses, nobody in the audience with glasses on, and, like, 2D trailers playing. And I said, oh, well, is there a flat version of Jackass 3D? So we went back out, and I asked the guy, and he said, yeah, that's the 2D version. And I said, but my ticket says Jackass 3D. He goes, well, that's just the title of the film.
What a burn! That's amazing. It's called Jackass 3D, but...
Don't let that title mislead
sometimes,
you.
Don't let the title Piranha 3D mislead you.
Don't assume anything based on that.
I mean, did you watch the movie? Because they're not even that jackass. They're very polite.
So nothing about the title.
None of the title rings true. It's just a bunch of guys drinking tea. It's really weird. It's in one. It's in 2D.
The flat version.
And they're very polite.
Yeah.
That is so weird. I know that's true of all 3D movies. They have the screens that it's not 3D. But when it's in the title like that, they should commit.
I went and got. I went and changed my tickets. I put on my top hat and monocle. I went straight to guest services.
Because you have to see
this is an
3D.
Outrage.
So you saw a later screening?
Yeah.
And
I do like those films. I do like those films. Like, I could stand not to see some of the
I wish it was all stunts, not embarrassing anyone by dressing up as a weird person and acting weird in public.
Yeah.
And no sweatsuit that somebody drinks the sweat.
No poo volcano.
No poo volcano. Yeah. Like, if they just see it drives some people right out of my podcast, even. Just the discussion of it.
I think she was about to have a poo volcano. She's gone. She didn't hear that. She'll hear it on the podcast.
With your accent, there's no way she'll be offended by that. You made.
I can get away with swearing.
You made.
I could have sworn at that like policeman today.
You made a volcanic amount of shit sound very polite and dignified.
Elegant.
Yeah, that was awesome. What about? Let me ask you this. Your first two movies, you know, pretty violent. Definitely R's, both of them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you make a movie about fighting. And then you go PG-13 on our asses. Like, did you ever think about making Scott Pilgrim super violent?
Well, the books...
Did you know you were opening against the Expendables? Did you know that younger guys making people's heads explode might have beat them?
I know. Well, we, you know, the books are not kind of R-rated. The books are like T for teen as they're rated. So it would have been, I don't think we'd have been allowed to shoot it as an R. And I don't think it would have been right. There's not any blood in the comics. You have a surprise waiting for you on the podcast. I do apologize.
Volcano shit came back. And
I'm sorry.
Edgar apologized to her.
I'm sorry.
Sorry,
do you have
BS.
A name? Do you have a name tag?
No, she doesn't have a name tag.
Okay, I would have played for her.
But when we get to the Leonard Maltin game tonight, I said on Twitter today, I'm very serious about this, that people have a better chance of playing if they're wearing an I voted sticker. Because I'm very into people voting. So that guy right there, you're out. Because you only have your name on your chest. So narcissistic. Couldn't help the country.
We did, too busy
making your own name tag.
There is a thing on the DVD, on the Blu-ray. Even though Scott Pilgrim is a PG-13, you are contractually obliged to provide a TV-safe version. Now, even though it's a PG-13, for, like, American Airlines or some network TV, and I don't know if these versions even get shown, but you have to replace absolutely everything. Not just shit and fuck, but, like, hell and God. And when we do TV-safe versions, I have a rule with the actors is that we only do one take of the replacement word. And we think of the weirdest word possible. And so on the Blu-ray, we decided this time to... In the past, on Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz, we replaced fuck with funk. And prick with prink. And, like, cunt was a clump in... Like... In
you stupid
to...
clump is pretty insulting.
Oh yeah, yeah, exactly. You see Nutty Professor 2, the clumps. It's an insult.
No, but in that movie, a giant hamster ass fucks Larry Miller. The rules are crazy for what you can get away with and what you can't.
That was the title of the film in
Thailand. It literally gets behind him and he goes, oh! Like, it has entered him for sure. And the movie's PG-13.
But we changed one of the ones that we were watching some of it yesterday. The only kind of word that crops up a lot is ass in Scott Pilgrim. And we changed every utterance of ass to owl or owls. And it starts to sound really weird. And I'm really looking forward to it ever being shown on American
Kiss Airlines. My owls. Did you get a lot of owl last night?
Yeah, like a character.
Who's on an owl hunt?
What other ones are there? Like sort of...
Bad owl. These guys are totally bad owls.
You also say, you kicked my owl in the heart.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh.
My heart
you
in the owl.
You kicked my heart in the...
There's also a great exchange between Michael and Mary of, what is it, have you ever dated somebody that wasn't a total owl? And she says, well, you're not a total owl. He goes, but I'm part owl.
Yeah.
The further
what does that even mean? Like, are you dating nocturnal people whose heads spin all the way around? That's awesome. And with the owls of Ga'ul, let's go in and edit that movie so they always say ass instead of owl. Because you know they say owl a bunch of times in that movie.
I thought Legends of the Guardians, the Owls of Ga'ul, in 3D would be the worst title to get in running charades. It's way too fucking long.
You'd have to just point to someone who's an ass. And then they would guess it, because how many movies have owl in the title?
I think some long titles, I think people have never said the full title when buying a ticket.
I try to.
Really? Do you go
if
in and
I
say...
If I saw Legend of the Guardians, Owls of Ga'ul, I would say the whole thing. And,
in 3D.
And I would
in
wild,
real 3D.
In 3D, and I would wildly mispronounce Ga'ul when I was saying it. I love that. I love, like... saying the titles as wrong as possible and as long as possible.
Can I have one adult for X-Men Origins Wolverine, please? nobody's ever called it X-Men Origins Wolverine.
One for Wall Street, two, money never sleeps. It's fun. It's really fun. And because box office people, they kind of know what the titles are. You know what I mean? So if you get it slightly wrong, they just ring it up and pass it through so you can say funny things to them. Or like waitresses, too. I always ask for Mongoloid beef instead of Mongolian.
Because they won't correct you. They're just like, all right. Guy doesn't know how to say Mongolian. Or he's trying to amuse his friends. It's fun. Listen, let me ask a few more questions really quickly. No time for the answers, just the questions. Rumor has it you taught Quentin Tarantino how to play the Leonard Maltin game.
I did.
Okay,
I did.
No time for that story. And he told me that in a text, and I've never shitted myself after reading a text, but I might have on that occasion, because the idea of you and Quentin sitting around playing my dumb game.
With a well-thumbed Leonard Maltin guide.
Yeah, yeah. Your Leonard Maltin guide. Or does he own one?
He had one too.
Oh my
God.
Why,
that's what brought it up, is it was sitting on his table and I said, have you played the Leonard Maltin game? There you go.
Well, before we play Leonard Maltin game, three more quick things. When does Parks and Rec come back, Aubrey?
I don't know.
We'll look forward to that. And,
I'm weakly
annoyed by the success of Outsourced, because it's about something that shouldn't be happening. Outsourcing. And I can't find humor in that. And also it's keeping you guys from being back on the schedule. We're shooting
right now as if like we're coming back any minute now.
Yeah, because it could just happen on a whim.
Yeah, but for real, I think in January, that's what we hear. But honestly, it's like changes every day. But
Joel McHale might flip out and go on a serial killing spree.
Yeah.
Then you're back in.
Yeah.
Something as simple as that could happen.
Yeah.
And what else do you guys have coming? What's next for Edgar Wright? Do you have another project in the works, or are you ruminating?
I'm ruminating, yeah. I have a couple of things I need to get writing on, and so I just need to get back to the kind of...
With partners, with other people? Like, you wrote Scott Pilgrim with another dude, right?
Yeah, a couple of people that I work with. Me and Simon Pegg.
More stuff with Simon?
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of busy doing... he's got Mission Impossible 4 and Star Trek 2.
He's playing the same part in both.
Yeah. Scotty is now on the MI4.
Don't get me started about the Mission Impossible movies. If you could put a latex mask on that makes you look like a completely different person, why would you ever look like Ethan Hunt? Not even for a minute. Like, why would a super spy ever not look like somebody else if they could do that? Don't answer. It's a rhetorical question. Quickly, Michael, I made a movie called Super Jaime. Everybody gave me weed. You made a movie called Juno. Did people give you babies? You thought I was going to say Tic Tacs.
No, people asked me for a baby.
Do you like orange Tic Tacs? Because that was a gift for a while, right? And might still be, now that I brought it up.
It was a gift for a while?
Nobody ever gave me those.
No.
Your friends know you.
Nobody's ever given me anything in a respectful way like that.
Nobody's ever... You've got no thoughtful gifts.
No one's ever seen your work
and then applied a gift to it.
No. People have given me the DVD of Year One and said, take this. And I go and sign it, and then when I look up, they've left.
That is awesome. Sign this, yours. Yeah. No take backs.
I have a huge stack of... Year One signed by me.
They want you to personally take it back to Blockbuster. Right. It's your penance. Blockbuster doesn't even exist anymore.
I racked up a lot of late fees, yeah.
It sort of does still.
Is it? I thought they'd all gone.
It's hanging in, I think.
Okay.
But not totally. I don't know.
Let's talk about that for a while.
We'll run outside and check. It's somewhat movie related. And then, but for Aubrey and Michael, do you have anything in the can, as they say? Like any movies that are done and coming out later? I'd imagine you do.
I've done like a couple really small roles and some things lately. I just did a small thing where I played a suicidal tap dancer.
Is there any other kind, first of all? And secondly, what's the movie called?
Death Tap.
Yeah.
Death Tap in
real life. So it's really not that small of a part, or the killer isn't revealed until the very end.
It's called Tap Me Out.
I haven't.
What's it called?
I haven't given it a title yet.
Oh, okay. It's a made-up movie.
I made it myself, and that is how I spent Halloween.
So. It's actually just home
fuck
videos.
Fuck all of you.
Michael, what do you got coming out?
This comes out Friday, I believe.
Right? Uh-huh. And, this does.
That'll be good. I think people are excited about that.
They are, for sure.
By, I mean, listen to
this
them.
This is one of my best episodes.
The Scott Pilgrim DVD comes out November 9th.
That's right.
I believe it's loaded with special features. They are special features.
I saw the thing last night. You showed one of the special features, which is just like footage of all the actors on the stage where like the effect shots were done, and they're all like jumping through the air, and it's very athletic. You do some amazing...
It's poetic, too.
Poetic, too. It's athletic and poetic, watching people jump through the air and then...
In super slow motion.
Pretend to punch something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's... So
there's lots of extras.
There's I think there's something like 17 hours of extras, which is crazy.
All in slow motion, though, so it's like 5 hours. For
that'd be a
slow motion commentary.
I'm gonna try to watch all the extras. I'll get back to you.
Okay.
After I get through them all. And what's the best extra? Is outtake reel is fun?
It's our TV safe edit of Legend of the Guardians, the Owls of Galhul. Where we change every time they say owl, we change it to ass.
That would be so much fun to watch.
Wait, did the DVD not come out yet?
It comes out on Tuesday.
Oh.
Have you been talking it up like
no.
It's out?
No, but did it come out anywhere? Has it come out anywhere?
I don't know. People have review copies and stuff.
What are you getting at?
I don't know.
You want to...
Because on Twitter, someone quoted me in the DVD commentary. They quoted me, and I was like, oh, I guess it...
They might have got a preview copy or something.
Review copies, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So you're on the commentary?
Yeah, but the only thing I've heard about it is someone quoted me and I apparently said, oh my God, I'm still drunk.
So it was like you guys did the commentary the day after like some sort of rap party?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't remember. I don't know where
so
I am.
So you might have been joking about being drunk.
Sounds like it was a Wednesday.
That's a fun thing. That's a fun thing to say during a commentary. I'm drunk. Then you absolve yourself of everything. Because I love how every DVD, when you start it, the commentaries are not the opinion of any person that has anything to do with ever making this. Well, yeah, except for the people that made the movie. They really try to distance themselves from that. Because every commentary is probably like, well, the studio wanted this. It's always a lot of talking about what they fought you on.
Yeah, they still, not so much recently, but they still, even though they have that disclaimer, they still try to get you to cut stuff out. Like we, I got into a big fight on the Shaun of the Dead DVD because legal gets so kind of hot on things, and I had this trivia track all the way through the film, and the final trivia fact was, this film is based on a true story. And they said, you can't put that on, somebody will sue you. I said, I'd love to see that court case.
Zombies are sensitive. They will sue you if you imply that they got hit upside the head and incapacitated for a moment. They're prideful. They want to win the fight. Well, I saw Shaun of the Dead on Comedy Central the other day, and aside from the commercial intrusions, I wasn't that like they leave in. Because you're killing zombies, it can be super violent.
But weirdly, I'd never seen it on Comedy Central, and a lot of stuff is... Hot Fuzz and Shaun of the Dead were on back-to-back, and I noticed how kind of butchered they were. But the weirdest one was that Nick Frost at one point gives Simon the finger, and they digitally removed his finger. So it looks like he just shows him his fist. It was very strange. I had to rewind it. So you can show somebody smacking a zombie upside the head, but not the finger.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, and in Hot Fuzz, you could show, spoiler alert.
Timothy Dalton falling on a spike.
The Timothy Dalton getting a spike through his... But he seems okay and alive, so I guess it's all right, even though it's crazy violent. Anyway, let's play the Leonard Maltin game. I'm sorry I delayed it so long. We're running out of time.
But let's let the panelists pick. I like you to pick from over here if possible. And if especially if someone's got a sticker, a name tag, and an I voted sticker, those are the people I'd like you to pick. Although that Jordan Indiana Jones style is pretty cool. And you got the... So, Edgar, who would you like to play for in the...
Well, let's go for game. Let's go for Jordan here.
Kyle's got like some long story.
I know.
All right, but Jordan, the lettering, Jordan did Indiana Jones lettering, so that's pretty cool. So that's who Edgar's going to play for. Who would you like to play for, Aubrey?
Oh, I'll play for that girl whose thing I can't read.
Erica.
Okay. Erica, all right, you're playing for Erica. Don't forget to talk into the microphone, though.
I'll play for Erica.
Nice.
Who's the saddest Michael? Person here? I believe you. I believe you. Okay, you.
What's your name?
Clancy Hands?
Can
I? Is it too late to repick?
No, it isn't. It's totally not too late.
I think I'm committed to you.
All right, all right. Clancy Hands. All right. Oh my God.
Okay,
I went out on a date with him the other night. He was so Clancy Hands.
It says Classy Hands, like VOTD, video of the day. What does that mean? Oh, I see.
Oh, classy.
Nothing classy about that spelling.
All right, Classy Hands.
You're missing one letter from voted.
So Edgar's playing for Jordan. Aubrey's playing for...
Erica. I apologize in advance.
And Michael's playing for Classy Hands. Whatever that means.
We're team classy.
All right. So I hope you guys understand how the game's played. It's very complicated. We'll start with Edgar to pick a category. I think he's going to be excited about some of these categories. We got Zerner Law on Twitter, my good friend Larry Zerner. He suggested that the category songs in titles. So it's movies where the title is also the title of a song. And then for another category, it's David Schwimmer's birthday today, and Burt Lancaster, who starred in The Schwimmer. And so the category is movies featuring David Schwimmer or Burt Lancaster, because nice. There's, as far as I know, there's none that include both.
Nice.
Oh my God.
And then also celebrating a birthday on the day the podcast will plop on 11/5 is Sam Rockwell, the great Sam Rockwell. So it's Sam Rockwell movies is your third choice.
Awesome.
I think he'd be good at all these categories.
Let's go for... I know, I'm intrigued by the middle one because it's so kind of spurious, like David Schwimmer and Burt
Schwimmer and Burt Lancaster, yeah. That's
the dream team.
Yeah. Schwimmer, of course, who directed Simon Pegg and Run, Fat Boy, Run. I'd like to tie it all together.
Let's go for... let's go for Sam Rockwell.
Okay. You were intrigued by one and then went with the other. I like that. Keep me on my guard. All right, so Sam Rockwell movies. This is from, you get one from 1999, 2007, or 2009?
Was it 2000 and, what was the first one?
99, 2007, or 2009?
Let's go for 2007.
Okay. Leonard Maltin gives this movie 2.5 stars. I can't agree or disagree because it's one that I just never managed to see. What he says about it is that it features a strange relationship and that it's crippled by overlength. As I often say, the clues hurt more than help. And there are... 14 names. How many names do you think you can name this movie in that features Sam Rockwell in some sort of role?
I think I know what it is.
Edgar Wright thinks he knows what it is.
I think I know what it is, but I don't think I've seen it either. But
you might not have seen it either.
Maybe.
You say either, I say either. Let's call the whole thing off. Or the other way around.
How many names? 14?
Yeah, I think so.
Let's go for... I'll go for 8 names.
Okay. So we go down to Michael. You can bid less names or you can say name
he
that
movie. He
said 8. Yeah.
Well, I'll say 5. Is that... Is that all right. That's 5.
That's a fantastic bid. So, Aubrey, you can say less names or you can tell Michael to name that movie. Oh, if he fails to name it, then you'll get the point.
I can tell him to name it?
Yeah, yeah.
But I get some names, right?
Before you will.
Okay, well...
You don't get the names until you're on the chopping block.
Michael, name that movie.
All right. Would you like the clues again?
It's Crippled by Over the Length.
Yeah, it's 2.5 stars from Leonard.
There's a strange relationship.
And he says it's got a strange relationship, yeah.
All right.
And the names are Tom Aldridge, the great Tom Aldridge.
Classy.
James Carville.
James
Carville. I don't know if that's that James Carville.
Does Allison? It say the? Is there a the in front of his name?
There's no the. It's just James Carville. Then Allison Elliott. The aforementioned Sam Rockwell, so he's got pretty low billing in this situation.
Oh, God.
That's a clue. And then the fifth name that you get is Ted Levine, who, of course, we all know from...
Affleck Put Bill. The lotion in the basket.
And Monk. He's also on Monk.
It's not what I thought it was.
I don't know what I got us into.
Yeah, so what do you think with those five names? You got any idea at all? Sam Rockwell's in it, of course.
I don't remember anything about 2007. Jeez, what do I do?
You could just guess a movie from around that time if you think you might get lucky.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Which he is in.
Which one?
The first one, the original.
No.
I think I'm wrong.
No, that's not it. All right, does anybody else think they know? Audience? I'll tell you some more names. Michael Parks, Zoe Deschanel, Garrett Dillahunt, Jeremy Renner, Paul Schneider.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
Mary Louise Parker.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Do you know it now?
Yeah, I know it now.
What is it?
Oh.
The assassination of Jesse James.
Yes.
That was gonna,
by the coward.
That's correct. By the coward Robert Ford. Have you ever seen that?
Another bad Running Charades one.
Yes. Yes. Way too long a title.
I have seen that one.
Oh, you have. Okay.
I have seen that.
Yeah, I've never seen that.
The one that I thought it was Matchstick Men, but it wasn't.
You didn't see Matchstick Men?
No, I didn't.
I will. Wait. I say Matchstick Men is better than this one, but you know, we'll figure that out someday.
Jason Carville was in The Assassin. Is that his name, Jason Carville?
James Carville.
All right. James Carville was in The Assassination.
Well, there might be an actor named James Carville.
All right. It wasn't the wrong one.
He plays like a governor because he's got that accent. He's like, oh, I'm the governor or whatever.
So it is the
James Carville. So that's a great clue if you'd seen the movie. I have never seen it. So
the real title of the film was The Assassination of Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford. Is it Robert Ford?
Mm-hmm.
Featuring James Carville playing himself.
Yeah, playing a character 3D. Based on himself. All right, so that means Aubrey's got a point.
Thank you.
Well done. All right, and since Edgar wasn't involved in that skirmish, we'll start with you. Would you like In Theaters Now, or it's the 25th anniversary of Back to the Future, so actors who are in Back to the Future movies, or the aforementioned single artist soundtracks?
Let's go for the Back to the
Did
Future.
Did I mention that before? No. This is a category. It's where the soundtrack is by the entire soundtrack is by one artist, or most of it. And this was submitted by Jolene Bollinger on Twitter. I know you like music and movies.
Let's go for that one, then. Let's try that.
Okay. So this is one recording artist recorded most or all of the soundtrack. You've got 72, 85, or 99.
85.
Okay. Are you zeroing in already?
Is
your genius movie mind already getting it? Leonard gives it 1.5 stars. Nuh-uh. No, Leonard. I will not let that stand. 3.5 at the least.
Okay.
Love this movie. He calls it gritty. Maybe he doesn't like gritty. He also says that...
part of this movie is not enough. Like, he praises one part, but he says that's not enough to counteract the bad taste the film leaves behind. From 1985, and there are 9 names.
I am going to go for -1.
Yeah! Ever since I met Edgar, he was like, I'm going to be great at the Leonard Maltin game.
And what I was if like, I
we shall
now?
See about that. So that means, for you guys, because now it goes down to
how
Michael,
can we outbid that?
You can go -2 names.
Like,
or negative
say the answer
names.
5 minutes ago.
But that's the thing. You've got to name the movie and also name those negative names from the top of the billing down in proper order. So if you go 2 names, you have to name the first billed person and the second billed person. So it sounds to me like you should just give up and let Edgar not only impress everybody, but get a seat in the Tournament of Championships. Because that's what we do for people that go less than 0 and succeed.
You're so confident.
I know what it is.
That sort of sums up. I just realized I just said something that sums up Robert Downey Jr. He went less than 0 and still succeeded.
If I guess wrongly, am I
wrongly?
Yeah, am I penalized if I outbid him and guess wrongly?
No. Aubrey will end up winning the point in the whole game, probably. So I'm excited about that because we're running over.
Okay.
And so, it is exciting to me, the idea of Edgar not winning. Yeah. Because he came in so cocky.
All right,
came in all Han Solo. And I'm like Luke saying, or no, the other way around.
If I say nothing again, do I get a point?
I think you might. I think you might win this whole thing.
Okay, great.
Do you want to go more negative names, or do you
I'll
want to
go
say?
I'll go -2 just to make it interesting.
I love it. I love how interesting this is. I mean, all right, so now Aubrey has no choice but to say name that movie, I think.
Name that movie.
All right, so Michael.
Good job.
What's the movie called, first of all?
The Labyrinth?
No. Okay. And then
do I still have to name the names?
No, you don't. You show off though and tell us what it was.
I think it's To Live and Die in L.A.
Uh-huh.
And William Peterson and Wang Chung doing the soundtrack.
Yeah. See, that's how fucked up this game is. It's that you got a spoiler like that on the other end and you get screwed. That's hilarious. Nicely done. Aubrey Plaza is our winner, everybody. And of course, Willem Dafoe is second billed. Yeah. And today I was, long story for you guys, but for everyone else might get it. Today I was in a coffee shop in Burbank, Starbucks. I don't know why I called it a coffee shop. And some guy, as he was leaving, like right as he was walking out the door, Willem Dafoe's a shithead. Like he yelled it to the whole place as he left. And I was like, wow, that makes me feel good and terrible at the same time. That guy would yell that out.
Was Willem Dafoe inside?
No, he wasn't there. He was just trying to amuse me because I used to say that at the end of every show.
Because
Willem Dafoe's clearly not a shithead.
I thought maybe he was working there.
No, he's not a shithead. All right, so you were playing for Erica?
Yeah.
Yeah, Erica. Where's Erica?
There she is.
All right, Erica, you win. This is exciting. Edgar brought some stuff. What did you bring? Okay, he's got a Scott Pilgrim poster for you. And what else
t-shirts
is in there? A t-shirt.
Apps, clothing.
And clothing. He's got all sorts of Scott Pilgrim stuff. I've got a copy of, if you mail this in, you'll get a copy of the Scott Pilgrim DVD for free. It'll only cost you a stamp. Relax. I would have put a stamp on it if I had thought about it. I'll give you a quarter and this thing. And then that's all the stuff Erica wins. Congratulations, Erica. Thank you to my guests. Where is she? Pass that back to Erica. I can't make it that far. Edgar's going to go get the stuff right now because he's a proactive kind of guy.
I've also brought an Expendables gift basket.
Hey, it's a bunch of rotten fruit. What am I going to do? That was a horrible Bruce Willis impression. So,
Oh, there he is. There's Edgar with the bag. And I gotta just, you guys talk amongst yourselves for a second. I gotta find something out.
I saw Willem Dafoe in the airport the other day.
Tell us about it.
He was getting his bags, and he had a large bag. Mm-hmm. And he was with an Asian girl.
Did you talk to him?
No. No? How have you been?
Good. I was recently did an interview, and somebody told me a quote that I had said in the past. This is going back to David Schwimmer. Apparently, I don't remember saying this, but he threw it in my face. Apparently, I have in the past referred to my torso as personalityless, much like Ross on Friends. I've likened my torso to David Schwimmer. So.
And he got in your face about it?
Well, he you know,
he had some fun with it. He wasn't offended, though.
No, right? Well, no. It'd be weird. It'd be weird if the interviewer was offended by that. I guess
that would be weird.
I was being interviewed by Matthew Perry, but.
All right, let's have a big round of applause for everybody involved: Michael Cera, Aubrey Plaza, Edgar Wright. Truly an honor to have you all on, and good luck with DVD sales on Tuesday. Not unlike Everything That's Awesome, maybe that'll spark some movement for Scott Pilgrim 2.
Scott Pilgrim 2, The Clumps.
Hilarious out of the gate. That would be amazing.
Or it's uncensored title, Scott Pilgrim 2, The Cunts.
We're totally going to put Aubrey's noise over that.
Featuring the asses of Gal Hu.
Whatever that noise is. All right, and as usual, Justin Nauman is a shithead, and Jeff Woodruff is also a shithead. There's no room in his heart for you, 'cause God.